Well, good morning, Redeemer family. I hope you all are doing well. We've been able to connect with many of you over the last week through email, text, or phone. Please know that we miss being together, but trust God will use this time apart to do many things in each of our lives. But one thing being increasing our love for one another and our appreciation for what we have when we gather week by week in for worship together and fellowship together. These things are gifts from God. And one of my prayers is, as we are apart for a time, that God would lead us to a greater love for one another and an appreciation for what we have as God has formed a church for us in Ann Arbor. So please know that Bart and I have been and are praying for you all as we are apart, and we miss you. We miss gathering together for worship, and we pray that soon we will be able to gather again. But in light of the unique times we find ourselves in, I want to look again at a part of the Bible that gives us a very important perspective. Like many of you, I've spent the last week and a half or so processing the craziness of our current situation. And as I've processed it and observed the way the world has responded, I keep coming back to, we looked at this last week, the resources that we have in Jesus Christ. The resources that we have in Jesus Christ that provide a unique and key perspective for us now and really for any and every situation we may face in life. No matter what we face, the resources found in Jesus Christ, I believe, really and truly help us have a right perspective and respond well in whatever situation we find ourselves in. So I want us to look at these resources as they are poetically described in Psalm 87. Psalm 87, the joyful security we have now in Jesus Christ. Now, Psalm 87 is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. It was ages ago now, my last year of seminary, around 15 years ago, when in my last year, you had to write a final Hebrew exegesis paper, and I wrote it on Psalm 87, and this psalm has stuck with me ever since that time, and it's provided much comfort and stability during times of transition in life, and times like this, where we're questioning what is happening in the world around us or in our lives. So I'd like to share this psalm that has meant much to me over the years. Psalm 87. Let me read the passage for us, and then I'll walk us through it. Psalm 87. A psalm of the sons of Korah, a song. On the holy mount stands the city he founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. Among those who know me, I mentioned Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Cush. This one was born there, they say, and of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. For the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord records as he registers the peoples, this one was born there. Singers and dancers alike say, all my springs are in you. Let me pray for us. Our God, we thank you that we can consider your word together in this way. I pray for your people that are meeting in various homes, for families that are meeting together. I pray that this time in your word would be of great profit and encouragement and challenge us to trust in you during this time. Please bless us as a church and help me now as I seek to share your wonderful promises with your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Psalm 87, we are told, we are introduced to this city called Zion. Verse 1, on the holy mount stands the city he, God, founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion. And as we read this poem in Psalm 87, we see that Zion is described as the city of all cities, the ultimate city, or the perfect place to live, the perfect city. In any place that we live at and at different times, thinking of our present situation, there will be positives and negatives to living there. You know, in a city, there's often a good library or a nice downtown or good restaurants when they're open or beautiful parks to walk through. But at the same time, this city often also has maybe corrupt leadership, or there are bad sections of town, crime, and racial tension. Good and bad exist in any city that we find here on this planet. We go to any city in the U.S., any city in the world, and point out imperfections. Every city has good parts and bad parts, and every city has maybe good phases and bad phases. But Zion, the city we come to in Psalm 87, is different. Zion is described as this perfect city. It's a perfect place to live, and it always will be a perfect place to live. And in Psalm 87, we're led through these perfections, the perfections of this city. And it's important to know, and we'll see this as we study it, that these things, these perfections of Zion, become ours through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who makes people like us, citizens of Zion, members of this city, a part of this community. Jesus Christ is the one who leads us in, welcomes us in, and establishes us as citizens of this city. But it's interesting to think about Zion in the story of redemption. Because in the psalm, we see the Old Testament people of God pointing to Zion, and in their minds, they were pointing to, firstly, the city of Jerusalem. Because in the Old Testament, story, the earthly city of Jerusalem was referred to as Zion. And Jerusalem really was the place of God's special presence. And Solomon, when he became king, built the temple in Jerusalem. And God came down in glory and filled the temple. His special presence was in this place, in the Holy of Holies specifically, in the temple, in the city of Jerusalem. But after years of disobedience of the citizens of Jerusalem and the people of God surrounding Jerusalem, God removed his people away from his presence in Jerusalem. He sent them into exile. He sent them for a time in exile. And then eventually he brought them back to the city of Jerusalem. The temple was restored. The city was repaired. The walls were rebuilt. But in time, the same process repeated itself, and the people, the citizens, became indifferent to God's law. They rebelled again, or the ritualism set in the community. So God sends his final messenger, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to Israel, to Zion, we could say. And the citizens of Zion want nothing to do with him. They reject him. They scorn and mock and eventually crucify the Messiah, God's son, Jesus Christ. And it's at this point, we see it in the teachings of Jesus, we see it in what happens at Jesus' death, that the earthly city of Jerusalem and the promises surrounding the earthly city of Jerusalem are expanded and become much bigger and much greater through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Right? Jesus foretold of this time when Jerusalem, in a sense, would be set aside and Zion would be changed and the promises would be expanded. We see it at his death when the temple curtain is torn in two. God's presence is not only confined now to the temple like it was in the Old Testament day. And we see in Jesus weeping over Jerusalem, we see his concern for the city as God has removed his specific promise from Jerusalem and now has expanded his promise more globally to the church, to people all over the world. So when we read Psalm 87, we are to understand how Jesus Christ brings these promises of Psalm 87 and gives them to us. And we have them now in Jesus Christ. Through God's grace, we are now made members and present citizens of the city of Zion. And we have these things now. And whatever happens around us in our lives now, all the instability we can think of around us, we now have the stability of Zion. We live there. We have it now, and we know that one day we will have it perfectly when Jesus Christ leads us into his heaven. When he leads us into glory, we will have these things that are described here perfectly. What I want to do is look at four aspects to the perfections of Zion, emphasizing the perfect security that we have now in Jesus Christ, in Zion, that leads us to joy. But the four aspects are: Zion is a place of perfect safety and security. Secondly, it's a place of perfect community. Third, it's a place of perfect leadership. And fourth, it's a place of perfect satisfaction and delight. And again, let me be very clear. I'm sharing this with you to encourage you, my church. I love you and I miss you. And I'm bringing, in a sense, Psalm 87 to you because I want you to know these promises are yours in Jesus Christ, are offered to you in Jesus Christ. If the instability of our current time is causing you to question many things and to look into your faith, and you have not come to a faith in Jesus Christ, these things are offered to you in Him and freely given through His work on our behalf. So that's my emphasis. I'm trying to give you something that God has graciously given to me. I'm passing it on. Hopefully, we all will be comforted and challenged by what we see here. So first, Zion, this place that we can be a part of through Jesus and are a part of through Jesus, is a place of perfect safety. Now you think about the goal of any city, starting with the beginning of time, we think of in the Bible, Cain's city of Enoch. A purpose of the city was to protect the people who lived in the city. It was to be. The city was designed to be a place of security. And the way the sons of Korah start this psalm, they say, on the holy mount stands the city he, God, founded. The NIV says he has set his foundation, the foundation to the city, on the holy mountains. Or the second part of verse 5 in Psalm 87, the Most High himself will establish her, will establish this city. All of these things are pointing to the safety and security that people have if they are part of this city. So first, the foundation of this city is set in the holy mountains. First, in the mountains. You think of the way cities were designed in ancient days. They often were set on high places because it's harder for enemies to attack a city when they're going uphill. And this is our understanding of cities. We're not to think of like Detroit or Ann Arbor when we're thinking of city here. We're to think of ancient cities that had walls around them to protect their people. So here, Zion has its foundation and its walls, in a sense, set in the mountains. It's a high place. It's a place of protection. But these are not just mountains. These are the holy mountains. The holy mountains speak to the place where God dwells, where the eternal Almighty God dwells. The omnipotent God, the creator of the universe, he dwells here in the holy mountains, and he set his people, in a sense, in his midst, in his hands, under his protection. We see this in verse 5, as we already mentioned, the Most High himself will establish the city, or we could say the Most High himself will keep this city. So the city is secure. That's what the psalmist is emphasizing in these different poetic ways. The Most High God, the Hebrew name El Elyon, is the one who establishes and keeps this city. And verse 2, he loves the gates of Zion. This is his precious treasure, the city and his people in the city. He will protect because he's able, as the omnipotent Most High God, he is able to protect his citizens, so his citizens are perfectly secure. So if, through Jesus Christ, we are a part of the city, we have no reason to give in to fear or worry. We can know, as Paul says later in the Bible, all things work together for our good if we are children of this king, if we are citizens of this city. So no longer do we have to be anxious or fear. We know he will take care of us because he loves us. We can think of the ways that this present situation has led to insecurity. And I can look back in days over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, and think about what if this happens or what if this happens. I can understand what insecurity is, unsure of the future, more so because of my present situation. At present, our security in finances or health or maybe in our government has been rattled. Well, may this circumstance lead us to greater security is found in God alone. Children, at times like these, watching what is going on around us, it can lead to anxiety and fear and insecurity. But please know that in Jesus Christ, we are offered this perfect security. He loves his people. He's watching over his people. As we looked at last week, he is with us to help us, a very present help in trouble. He is our refuge and our strength. And we see here again in Psalm 87, he is our security. So in times of fear, when we are afraid, we can call out in trust, and we can call out to God, asking him to lead us to the refuge and security that we have in him. So first we see here in Psalm 87 a beautiful picture of our security that we all have in him. Secondly, in verses 3 through 5, we see the perfect community we have in Jesus Christ in Zion. Let me read 3 through 5 again. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. Among those who know me, I mentioned Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Cush. This one was born there, they say, and of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. So the word Rahab there is a nickname for Egypt. So we're talking about nations here and great cities. Egypt and Babylon and Philistia and Tyre with Cush. So these are different cities or regions or nations. And by mentioning these nations, the psalmists, the sons of Korah, are pointing to the global nature of this perfect community that God is gathering together, but also the amazing grace of God in gathering people together in community. So first, the global picture is given because as he mentions these different locations, he's pointing to different places on the map, right? He's pointing to Egypt in the south, Ethiopia in the southeast, Babylon in the east, Tyre in the north, and Philistia in the west. He's pointing in every direction. The sons of Korah are pointing in every direction, showing the community of God that will not just be for his people in Jerusalem, in Israel, but it will be for the nations. Every tribe, tongue, people, and nation will be a part of this city. We see this later in the Old Testament in the book of Micah, where the prophet Micah says, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it, and many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So part of the beauty of Zion is that God will bring people from different nations together. But also we see here the amazing grace of God, because the nations that are pictured here, that are mentioned here, are some of the greatest enemies of the people of God throughout the Old Testament story. So Egypt, if you know your Bible history, is the nation that cruelly enslaved Israel for over 400 years. Babylon is the nation that took Israel into exile, plundered the temple. Philistia is the arrogant and persistent coastal enemy with men like Goliath, the Philistine, who taunted Israel, a great enemy of Israel. Tyre was a rich city which in Ezekiel 26 rejoiced at the plundered gates of Jerusalem. And then Ethiopia was a nation of soldiers from the sub-Sahara desert who hired themselves out to other countries as mercenaries. So these people, these nations, these people groups are enemies of the people of God. And this points to God's amazing grace that the sons of Korah could speak to these nations being brought in to be a part of the church, to be a part of this community, to be in Zion with God and with God's people. Every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, the New Testament emphasizes, will be brought together in community. So we see here God is about forming a community, and we see that community is a gift, that he brings people from different walks of life. He brings people from different economic backgrounds, from different nations. In one church like Redeemer Ann Arbor, and he brings us together to be a part of his church. And it's at times like these that we should, and this is how I begin, realize and appreciate all we have in the community that God has given to us in the church. There's no other community like this. It's not based on mutual interest. It's not based on mutual accomplishments. It's based on a mutual love God's love for us through Jesus Christ, and he binds us together, and he forms us together into a beautiful community that is centered on his grace, because it's his grace and love that brings us together. So we look at Zion, we see security, we see this beautiful picture of community that we have now, even though we're missing it in some ways through our separation. But third, we see perfect leadership in the city. And this is a beautiful picture. You see it a few times where the leader of the city, the Lord, all caps Yahweh, the Lord, God himself, delights and rejoices in each citizen, each specific citizen that is brought into the city. He loves them and he rejoices as they come to be a part of the city. You can think of the prophet Isaiah and the beautiful picture of God. When he says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. It's this picture of delight and rejoicing, almost surprise that this one was born there. This one is coming into the gates of this city. The king himself, God himself, rejoices in each member of the city. Children, you could imagine possibly coming to America for the first time, and as you pass through immigration, there is the President of the United States there to shake your hand and to welcome you as a new citizen of the city. That's the picture we're given here. And this is a picture of Jesus Christ, who specifically rejoices in each and every citizen that is brought to be a member of Zion. At one time, you and I were enemies of this king. At one time, we faced his just judgment. We were alienated from him. But through the work of this leader, Jesus Christ, who is rejoicing and welcoming us, God made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He looks at us through Christ, and he rejoices in us. The Lord himself rejoices in us, over us, as we come to be a part of this city. Behold, this one and that one were born in her. So again, I want to apply this to our situation now, where some of us are isolated and alone, all of us are. And we must know, whatever our situation, it's a little different for each of us. Jesus Christ is with us. He has promised to be with us. He will always be with us. And may God use this time to heighten our appreciation for what we have in our perfect leader, Jesus Christ, who delights in each and every one of us. May this lead us, may this time lead us to appreciate all the resources we have in Christ and our relationship with Jesus Christ, this perfect leader. But let me close. Fourthly, what do we see? So we have perfect safety, perfect community, perfect leader, and lastly, perfect satisfaction. The way this psalm closes, verse 7, singers and dancers alike say, all my springs are in you. So here we're given a picture of the citizens of Zion all gathering around, singing and dancing, playing instruments in praise, because they're satisfied in the city. All my springs are in you. Isaiah 12, we're told that God's people will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy, we will draw water from the wells of salvation. The prophet Joel says this, in that day the mountains will drip with sweet wine, and the hills will flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah will flow with water, and a spring will go out from the house of the Lord to water the valley of Shittim. In Zion, we have this joy and this delight and this satisfaction. We possess it now through our relationship with the King of Zion, through Jesus Christ, and we'll possess it perfectly on through eternity. In Zion, there's a spring that quenches every thirst, satisfies every desire, and makes glad the people of God. Jesus is this spring. Jesus is the living water, the bread of life, who really gives this to his people. As I studied this psalm, I came to really appreciate John Newton and his hymn based on Psalm 87. glorious things of thee are spoken is the hymn. And in one of the verses, it goes like this. Savior, he's singing to Jesus. Savior, if of Zion's city I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity. Let them do anything. Let whatever happen, happen. I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure. All his boasted pomp and show, solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know. These are things, these joys, and this treasure cannot be taken away from us. We have it in Jesus. We have it as members of Zion. The satisfaction cannot be taken away from us. Perfect satisfaction in this city through our Savior Jesus Christ. So, dear church, be encouraged. As we face uncertain times, we dwell in a place of perfect safety and security. Please know that. We have perfect community with each other still and with our God. We have a perfect leader who rejoices over us, who delights in us, who's walking with us through this. And we have perfect satisfaction and delight in him and him alone. So I call you, dear friends, dear church, I call you to turn your eyes to Jesus, to trust in him. And during this time, spend more time with him, rejoicing in the promises he's given to us, praying that God would lead us to a greater love and appreciation for what we have in him, and a greater love and appreciation for what we have in our church. Again, I love you. I miss you guys, and I am praying for you. May God encourage us through this psalm, challenge us and encourage us to live our lives as citizens of Jesus' kingdom. Grace be with you all. Amen.